I was just getting situated.
Thanks. Thanks for the heads up. Sorry that I called you out on it. I didn't mean anything by it.
It's okay. Just next time I move, I will alert you that it's me making the creak noises.
Honestly,
that will
maybe
then
some
be
hand
later
signals or...
edited out. Yes.
You guys
I'll
know
do
how...
ASL for you.
There we go. You know how jumpy I am, so it wouldn't be the worst idea if you're gonna move quickly to alert me.
Me on the other side of a computer screen.
still available to scare.
Yeah, still gonna jump scare Sean.
Yeah, definitely possible. I was watching the newest video by Dirt Lifestyle Nate. Had to remember his YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Where he switched his Onyx build channel or build whatever his build for the Onyx build challenge.
Build challenge.
Yeah.
Vehicle he changed.
Did you see this already?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we could talk about it because you've seen it.
Okay.
I have not seen it.
Have you seen any of them, Jesse?
No.
I didn't think so.
I'm not, you guys know I'm not a YouTube guy.
I know.
Which is funny that you say that because you're the one who told me about him, about Dirt Lifestyle.
Oh, that's funny.
Specifically. I didn't know who he, didn't even know he existed. And then Jesse was the one that told me, but he's not a YouTube guy.
No, not at all.
Well, not a big YouTube guy.
Okay.
Brief.
I'll watch some stuff.
Brief synopsis. Onyx build challenge happening. I watched the first episodes that they released and I still couldn't.
That Onyx
released? Yeah. And I couldn't really figure out what the rules are.
Mm-hmm. I have not watched that any of that at all. So I have.
It doesn't help.
I only have it from Nate's
honestly,
side.
My guess is if you watched all the builders, you'd probably figure it out. But like that original video, I was kind of like, okay, so you have to build something. I think there's like a clause in there about making something unique. I don't know. I got to rewatch it.
Okay.
It was very odd.
So there's uniqueness points.
Yeah, because they're all building weird stuff.
Okay.
That's kind of where they're like the Bleep and Jeep guys are doing like an XJ Jag with XJ parts.
Hmm.
Kind of cool, right? Weird, but cool. Lifted car, your favorite thing.
Yeah, love it.
let's
go deeper on that.
Yeah. let's not. Let's bring that back for episode 80 instead.
Okay.
So I don't know what they're doing, but they've got this build challenge like they did before where they're all getting these vehicles, building them. They'll debut them at the SEMA show, and then they'll do an off-road challenge. The challenge is happening in Arizona, which brings me to another side point I want to bring up later when we're talking about the other thing, actually. But the big thing is that this guy, Nate, was building a Jeep J10 pickup, the Jeep, Wagoneer pickup thing, cab.
Was it a J10 or was
I
it
I believe
the...
so.
Yeah, I mean it's you know one what? Of the J trucks.
Let me tell you something. I only know of J10.
Okay.
So if
well,
it's something else that's used to
there's
me.
There's also 1000, 2000, okay. 20.
Yeah. Wow.
I want to say there might be a 3002. I'll have to check my work on that one.
Okay.
But...
Well, while you're looking that up and I can continue explaining to Jesse.
Please.
He took this Jeep truck and took the body off and put it on a second third gen Dodge Ram
dually,
and like decided to make it an off road truck that would also be like used for off road recovery. I think was kind of the idea, like an onboard welder and stuff.
Yeah, that was.
But then he kind of ditched that in the middle, and it's got he was doing an okay job. Like they did, they put it on like a 37-inch tire and did like a custom link suspension, which took like four tries, which was kind of fun to watch. Built like a narrowed 14 bolt with a shaved bottom and stuff for it. That was kind of cool. So it would have a little more clearance. Anyways, goes through all this stuff. And it's pretty obvious in all the videos that he's a little over his head with the time, maybe, because he keeps just saying like, I hope I can get this done. I hope I can get this done. And then I watch this video today that's like, well, I've given up. I cannot build this in, you know, he's got this way he talks. He's like, I cannot build this truck in 5 weeks to any level, let alone the level that I want to build it, blah, blah, blah. So he decides that he's going to take this series Land Rover that's in his yard, basically, that he had just recently gotten.
Yeah, he had just found it. And he said he couldn't pass up the deal. It was like too cheap to not buy, basically.
It looks like a very complete one. I know it's not like perfect condition, but it's very complete. It's really cool.
It's sat for a long time from the sounds of it.
What kind of rover is it?
It's a series. I believe that is a series 3.
Okay. So it's like a later
series. Yeah, because they moved the headlights out to the fenders, and that's the dead giveaway. The series 1's, the headlights are in the grill still.
Okay. It's got that goofy grill, too. It's like a different grill than you're used to seeing. So anyways, he's got this thing, and I guess they're letting him build that instead. And he's 5 weeks out as of that video, so I would assume that was like last week, because SEMA's in about a month or so. So it's going to be a tight one. But he yarded out the axles. He's got a set of 80 series axles for it, and he's putting like the Nokian, not the 44-inch version, like the 38-inch version of those Nokian snow tires on it. That's like the next basis of the build, is like a flotation tire, basically.
Because he wants to make it a snow, like snow-dedicated wheeler.
Which is kind of an interesting strategy, because he's in a challenge that is not based around any snow, but whatever.
So it's going to do that. Well, he's going to build it for the challenge, and then but have it so that it has the capability of putting these other tires on it, because he's going to make it the snow wheeler after the challenge. After.
He's not
going to
run those tires for the challenge.
No.
Okay,
That's how I understood what he was getting at.
That's pretty much it. The one thing I didn't hear or I didn't pay attention to while my dog was yelling at me was what he's doing for a drivetrain.
He did not mention anything about what the drivetrain changes, if there were going to be any, are.
There's no way he's going to drive that with a stock engine and trans, right?
It's going to be a nightmare.
Be so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to spend 5 weeks getting it. He's going to spend 5 weeks finding parts to make it run again, let alone getting it to run. So I'm guessing it's probably going to end up with like a Toyota motor based on size, like maybe a 3.4 V6.
He's a diesel guy, though.
Yeah.
He likes diesels, so it could be another Volkswagen TDI.
Yeah, with a Toyota transmission.
Or no, wait, you know what? Before this all started, he bought a Rover 200 TDI in one of the earlier videos for it, because it was, again, one of those, like, he found a motor for cheap, and it's apparently in good operating order. So, and the motor that's in it does run.
Mm.
He got it to run. But then he's just kind of figuring he can use that diesel if he needs to. So it's going to be so I don't know if that whole plan is going to completely change again, or if he's going to go with just the sticking with the gasser that's in it. Cause it's a terrible engine the gassers that were in that.
I believe it.
It is a series three. I was correct on that. Still working on the Jeep truck stuff.
the Land Rover knowledge just came out.
The Land Rover knowledge comes right to the forefront.
So Jesse, you should, if anything, look at the thumbnail for this YouTube video, because that sold me. It's really cool looking. It's a really cool little like wheelbase. They're like small but not small. They're an interesting kind of like Land Cruiser is, like an in between vehicle. So I think it'll look cool. I think it's going to be crazy to try to build a vehicle like, so he's like three link front and rear, although he is like the guy that tries to like put coil springs from a Jeep or some other thing in there all the time. So we'll see how that goes.
But yeah, kind of like how Dave Chappelle, not the comedian, likes to do airbags with his link suspensions. Like Nate really likes to put coils, not coilovers,
no,
just coils, shock. So I was very close to correct. J20, J10, J2000, and J4000.
Whoa, they skipped the 3000.
Yep. Get out of here, 3.
Nothing.
Don't want
three.
Anything to do with a 3. We're doubling things. That's it.
Huh.
Well, that Land Rover does look pretty cool. I'm looking at the thumbnail now.
I think it'll be neat. I think that his idea is neat. I don't know that I'm going to like, because he wants to put the like Arctic style flares on it once he gets the big tires, and I don't know if that's the right vehicle to do that on. Kind of like how we talked about before, I think it was Jesse found the a Grand Wagoneer that was Arctic trucked, mm-hmm. and it had the flares. And I said to Jesse, I think that's the first time I've not liked an Arctic truck because the flares just don't work on it at all.
They just don't. And I think you're right, Colin, because with the sharp lines of the Series 3, it just doesn't seem like it's going to fit those big bulbous flares.
Yeah, I mean, everything's very flat.
I'm assuming he's going to build them flat, which is probably the detail he left out when he went on a rant about how he could just buy flares and stick them on there, but he wants to build his own so he can do them exactly like he wants, which, whatever, that's
fine. I mean, we'll see. It's hard to say for sure, but
hard to say.
Just one of those things with I can't picture it in my head to a fashion that I like, but maybe he can. Who knows?
It'll be interesting to see. I'm excited to see it doesn't matter. I'm not like keeping up on it, obviously, but I'm interested to see the progress on the other vehicles at some point because I've paid no attention. So it might be kind of interesting to know like one, but not the others.
Mm. I mean, that's basically what I did with the last one.
Yeah,
I only knew anything mm-hmm. about his Land Cruiser. I guess I knew a little bit about the Ram Charger just because I liked that one. Yeah. So I watched a little bit of it.
I think I watched one of their episodes, and then I watched like part of one episode on the S10. Mm-hmm. I don't really like that guy's video style. He seems like a pretty cool guy.
And that's where I was with the Ram Charger because I don't like that girl. I can't remember what her name is, but I can't stomach her stylistically. Yeah. And then Rudy wasn't that much better.
Yeah.
Honestly, he's a little lacking in that department as well. But at least the Ram Charger was cool.
It was cool. I liked my favorite part about that one was that they had it on that like EFI setup and then last minute decided to ditch it because mm-hmm. they couldn't figure it out. Nothing like a great review for the company that I'm sure helped you out to give you that.
Yeah, got them that for probably pretty close to free, if not free.
Yeah, maybe not. Who knows? But before I forget, welcome to the Campfire Passport Podcast.
I've been waiting for that one.
I've been waiting for it
13 minutes in. Not bad.
I've been waiting for it since we clicked record.
I was kind of hoping Jesse might interject. Oh, one thing, and then just mm-hmm. put it in there or something. Yeah. But
there were a couple moments that were good spots for it, but no one seized on those moments.
Yeah. So
I'll find a day to steal it.
Filling dead air with it was...
That was nice.
No, yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Got really quiet for a second.
Yeah.
We both happened to take a drink at the same time.
The Arizona thing I was starting to mention. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed mm-hmm. that Arizona has got a lot of attention in the off-road world all of a sudden? We got... This is apparently going to happen there. Four-wheel drive, 24/7, did it. The other thing we're going to talk about today did it. Mm-hmm. Are doing it right now. That's three major, things in, I don't know, a few months. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it was a hidden gem that people finally figured out. Or...
Yeah, I think it was just that there is a lot of trails down there, but like they're not super well known mm-hmm. by people that are not from the area. And now with how much more popular, off-roading and the off-roading events and whatnot are getting. It's like people have done all the high up stuff that everybody knows. And so now it's finding the next little echelon of places to go. So,
yeah. Yeah. That trail that seems to be the one that's getting a lot of attention is gnarly. Mm-hmm. What's it called? Do you remember
off the top of my head? No,
come on, Jamie, look that up.
Do they have a lot of public lands out there in Arizona?
That's a great question. I don't think they've got a northwest amount of public land, but they might have a reasonable amount. Let me see if I can look at an Arizona BLM map and see. Public lands. They have some. It's the northeastern corner of the state, looks like, is pretty hefty. Wait, I don't see the... I'm missing the map index. Hold on.
Good job.
Land status, BLM lands. Mm. There's a lot of tribal land. That's part of it. Interesting. Yeah, they've got some. It's not a ton, actually. Ironically enough, there is a bit of national forest, like a pretty healthy amount of national forest. So maybe there's some use in there. And I don't think there's much national park land. Grand Canyon, of course. Mm-hmm. And that's about it. This other weird little section on the border, which I'm not familiar with. Where's Luke when you need him? Anyways.
He would know that right off the top of his head.
He would. He knows things like that off the top of his head. It's scary and very useful.
Yeah, he is quite the encyclopedia for not just vehicle knowledge in general, but just motorsports, cars, trucks, history. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like an idiot half the time when we talk about any sort of history with Luke. I feel like I know some things, but I don't. It's nothing. He would beat me at Jeopardy. Let's put it that way. Mm. You figure out that trail yet?
No.
No.
I was messing with something else.
Oh, come
on. I've got a lot of... I'm spinning a lot of plates here. Yeah, I am.
What do you got going on?
I'm
spinning
a lot of plates. Well, I was trying to figure out if I could do this or not, but...
Wow, I got a lot of distortion, by the way.
That's the point of the soundbite, I think.
Oh.
It's a good fill. I didn't know it was this long. It's a very long soundbite.
And you can't stop it.
It might be the whole song. No, I think I can just I think I just restart it. And that's it. It might be almost over. I picked the wrong one.
15 minutes later.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the whole song. This is great.
Cool. Okay, you can stop it.
I got this, though.
Wow.
Okay.
There's a lot on here. I'm just testing new theories.
Okay, well.
Yeah. Somehow our audio is picking up on the soundboard audio, which is weird.
Not supposed to happen.
Yeah, I don't think it's supposed to do that, but it is.
So you have a separate soundboard over there now?
What else you got for me? I got dual soundboards here.
What else can you do?
What, as far as sounds?
Yeah.
I mean, I've got, let's see, how about this one?
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
I just had a flash to that... Whoa. Also distorted.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just had a flash to that ridiculous meme that came out of the Rogan podcast where they're all dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's too bad none of us can do that.
That's a classic.
That is a classic.
All right. I'm going to name off some trails in Arizona. Tell me if it's the one you're thinking
I'm not going to know by the
name.
The name. I can't tell. Oh. I'm trying to look right now.
Name them anyway.
Yeah, do it anyways. Let's see. That's what everybody's going to love.
Broken Arrow, OHV.
That's it. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Well, then there's Schneebly Hill.
Definitely not Schneebly Hill.
Monument Valley.
Might be.
Four Peaks.
No.
Van Deren.
I don't know. Maybe.
Way to Crown King.
That first one sounds the most familiar to me.
Yeah.
So the back way to Crown King says it's the hardest of the top 10. This is also just a random thing I picked up that said the top 10 trails in Arizona.
But it is on the internet, right?
It's on the internet.
Yeah, so it's true. It's fine.
Well, to find the correct answer, all you have to do is say that that is the hardest trail in Arizona on the internet.
And yes, it is.
And then someone will tell me
what the hardest trail actually is.
The actual hardest trail is.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always forget the name of that. There's the very specific name.
Cunningham's Tyson Law? Knows it.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Colin. Bill Nye the Science Guy. I need control of the buttons sometimes, all right? Can I get a soundboard or soundboard too?
Half the problem is finding them because there's 400 on here, and you got to really parse it down somehow.
Jeez.
So, yeah.
You just hit like...
It's not easy.
Most popular in your region.
I mean, that's... I was on trending.
Nice.
But, yeah, so it's hard to say.
That's where you got the distorted bad rap music?
Yeah.
Cool.
And some of them don't work.
Oh, that's
like I've just tried to hit that one twice. It didn't do anything. So
that's a good one.
Yeah. You know, you never. I guess I just don't know what I'm going to get until I try it. So.
Yeah. No, you don't know what you've got till it's gone.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There you go.
Well, we were talking about Arizona and that.
Wow.
That geo tracker that sent you guys.
Oh, is that from Arizona?
From Arizona.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Mm. Is this going to be the Arizona episode? What was
that? Means we got to get Toasty back on here.
Smallest and Chase. Smallest RV. Is that what it was called or something? What's it called, Jesse?
Yes.
Just go into your text.
I don't know. Small cute geo tracker with a
small cute geo tracker. Google small cute geo tracker with camper.
All right. I'm on my phone. I'm looking. Let's see.
Nope.
Is that,
we are not sponsored or
that, you know what? I get that one too, by the way. That's a really common YouTube ad for me. I'm gonna
damn it, it's a whole video, but I'm not gonna be able to watch the video while I'm doing it because I was busy. I wasn't able to watch the video at all.
Yeah,
that's
me
on me.
It's okay.
Jesse. So go ahead.
You didn't miss much.
Go ahead and get into it while Sean and I view.
Yeah, explain it to us.
They're in Prescott Valley.
Like we're
that's
done.
How far I've gotten.
Prescott.
So it's a small little geo tracker. I mean, I could have just said geo tracker, and honestly, it would have.
Yeah, you don't need to say small.
That it's small. But this guy built a little camper for the back of it. He built it out of 2x2 Doug fir and plywood. I thought it was going to be a little bit more elaborate, but it wasn't.
So it's super simple, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's super simple. I just saw it and I was like, well, that's kind of cute. We could talk about this thing.
It is pretty cute.
It's got a 3-inch lift on it, a bumper, a 4,500-pound winch, which should speak to its size. If you only need a 4,500-pound winch, you got a small rig.
Even with the camper.
Mm-hmm. Well, he says it. He thinks it only weighs 300 to 400 pounds. But
he thinks so. He it's didn't weigh before and after. Come on, man.
No, he's like, well, two people can pick it up, so it can't be more than 400 pounds.
There's great logic.
That's
in that.
Math. Okay.
Yeah. Man, math.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still in the process. He hasn't insulated the inside of it yet, so it's going to gain more weight there. He's going to put some sort of panels on the inside, so it'll gain more weight there. He didn't paint the underside of it. He only painted the outside. Oh. So I have a feeling it's not going to last long unless he finishes it.
Well, he has a puppy, so that's pretty cool. There's like a solid minute dedicated to the puppy in this.
Oh,
I'm just scrolling ahead. I'm not.
Oh, you're okay.
Yeah.
He's giving the walk around right now. Yeah. That's where I'm at. So
what I came into this thinking. From the first time you showed it to us, where do you sleep? Where do you sleep? Where do you sleep? I'm scrolling through here, and I finally figured out you sleep on the floor. That's the only place that's long enough.
How do you sleep?
6'8".
There he is.
So you hang into the like dryer. Oh, I see.
There's no passenger seat. This is a camper for one.
Okay.
Yeah.
And a puppy.
So there's only one seat.
I see.
He is 6'8".
He can't stand up in there then.
Or sorry. The sleeping area is 6'8". He is 6'2".
Yeah. Okay. But he can't stand up inside there. Not fully upright anyway.
No.
Because he's almost as tall as the camper just standing next to the rig.
It reminds me of... Sorry.
I was just going to say, before we get too far, the title of the video, for anybody that wants to look it up, is Tour My Micro Truck Camper, and then in parentheses, World's Smallest.
World's Smallest.
That's a bold claim, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, well, you might as well make the claim and then see if somebody proves you wrong.
Okay. Sorry, Jesse. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, after watching the video and seeing, you know, he's not a small man. He's 6'2", probably pushing 300 pounds.
No, that don't do him wrong like that.
What?
This guy's like 220, 225 maybe.
Jeez, you think Jesse. Okay,
well, then I'm way off. Jeez. I'm not a police
what do you think
artist.
I wear?
This
weigh?
Poor guy.
I don't know. 300 pounds?
Yeah, that by that logic.
By that logic.
Jesus.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
All I was going to say is it reminded me of there's a scene from The Simpsons where there's the guy in the Beetle that's really tall and he's like sitting like this and Nelson laughs at him and he stops and he gets out and he's like, do you find something comical about the vehicle that I drive? I'm like, yeah, you know what? I kind of do. I want to see you drive that Geo.
It's
the world's smallest.
I'm not sure I see the point to it other than just to say that you did it, I guess. And it reminds me a lot of, I think we, in our group text, we had just had a circulation of somebody that actually had like a professionally built slide in that went into the back of a TJ. And it was like, it's like this, but like bigger and more dangerous looking.
It looks like you probably start doing wheelies sometimes.
Slight incline, a little bit of clutch dumping, and that thing will flip right over the top.
Well, nice thing is it'll stop it from flipping over because it looks like it's taller than it is longer.
Yeah, it'll just stand on its rear end straight up.
Just turns into an L.
Yeah.
There's a follow-up video. First time camping.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I only sent you guys the walk-around, not the
camping. How old is the walk-around video?
It's 2 months old.
2 months? Okay.
Hey, Jesse, where'd you find this video?
Internet.
Where on the internet?
I was scrolling through Instagram and I saw a reel of him driving it around. I was like, oh, that thing's kind of cute.
Okay. I thought
so. Searched it and figured it out. And
yeah, I thought it might have been in your suggested
fishing
YouTube.
For YouTube.
No,
from the guy that doesn't watch YouTube.
No, I watch my internet like an old person. I look at old TikToks on Instagram.
A week after, yeah.
Mm-hmm. At least you don't get them on Facebook.
No. Only thing Facebook is good for is Marketplace.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought about getting the Marketplace app recently because I don't have that. I just use the internet. Mm-hmm. I didn't do it. Story over.
Okay.
I was looking for expanded search parameters and it's a little... That seems to be the way to do it, but I didn't want to. So, yeah. Okay, so the other thing that we were going to talk about is the Unreal Adventure, which is really cool. And speaking of that, they have a YouTube video with the, like announcement of all the people that are going or that it's happening right now or just finished.
So it should be, let's see, today's Wednesday, so they should be... Dead in the middle of it.
In the middle? Okay, cool.
Because it usually, I believe it started on Monday.
Okay.
And then it's going to go for the week, and they'll be finishing up on Friday, I think.
Well, Jesse, I would highly recommend you dust off your YouTube and watch that video, because it's really good. And they are a bunch of professionals that know what they're doing and have great great coverage, just because they've been doing it forever, mm-hmm. which is great.
Yeah, so formally... it is the ultimate for the four-wheeler magazine ultimate adventure.
Yep.
And basically, because four-wheeler is no more, the guys that put on that, which is Trent McGee and I can't remember the other guy's name, but they've been the guys that have been doing it for years. And Trent McGee, he does all of the mapping and route planning and everything. He was also on the Ultimate Overland Adventure, whatever they call that. Christian Hazel, yes.
And then the other guy is
Colquhoun.
No, it's what's his name? Shoot. I don't know. There's another guy who's been part of it forever, who's also in the industry. Okay, never mind.
But anyway, it's basically just they go to an area and they wheel and live out of their trucks the entire time, and they wheel like the hardest trails. It's not an overlanding thing, even though it kind of is.
Yeah,
but it's like you're going, it's rock landing to the extreme, where these are not overlanders. These are, for the most part, dedicated wheelers, rock crawlers, and then they go and they just wheel all these really hard deals the entire time.
I don't really like the term rock landing. What did you call it?
Rock landing.
Yeah.
Rock landing. I preferred our term, which was the crawler landing.
Mm. I don't like either one of those, to be real honest with you.
I think it's better. Mm. I don't like either, but yeah, I think it's still better. Well, I will follow up on that and actually check out the YouTube, because those rigs do look like a lot of fun.
They've always got cool ones, and then there's like the way that they do it too is if you are unaware. They send out invites. They basically like get, like you can apply for your vehicle to go along with them, and their group will select who's going, like who they want to come along. And then it's like they bring back one or two guys from the previous year. That's like a typical theme that they do. And then there is then the cronies, which is like the guys that help put on the event. They always bring something, and typically they're bringing different vehicles every time. And then they've got like the sponsors, and sponsors will build vehicles or bring vehicles, which like that green Quigley Chevy van that is on all of them that does crazy stuff. It's hard to describe other than full throttle and a lot of ain't care, and it's awesome.
But doing things like a van should not be doing.
Exactly. Vern Simmons is there. That's
the guy.
He's been there
thinking about
forever. And then Fred Williams, Dave Chappelle, those are two of the cronies as well that are going to be there. Clifton Slay, he's been with these guys for a long time. He's like a medic, essentially. So he like goes on all of these with them as like the dedicated medic dude. Mm. Yeah. I mean, it's cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
It's very cool.
The thing that connects all of this is that they are in Arizona.
This year, yeah.
Yeah, obviously at the places we've been talking about, which I think is funny. And that's it.
Wow. Well,
great podcast, everybody.
I mean, really what I wanted to kind of go over was what you were talking about was the vehicles that got invited come this year. Because one that stood out to me, at least, was the BMW X5.
Oh, yes.
Which is hilarious because it's a BMW awesome. X5. And I saw part of that video where Trent was saying that he got the email initially and was like, oh, this guy doesn't get what this trip is. And then he got deeper and found like video and pictures of the vehicle itself and was like, oh, wait, this guy knows what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
So it is not your average X5 because it has been completely converted to with an LS, 205, 203 doubler. It has like a 3 or 4 link suspension with solid axle swaps, which is crazy because it's a subframe vehicle. So yeah, like a lot of stuff went into that thing and it is very cool.
It's very nice. I saw it at SEMA last year and I thought it was going to be kind of a basket case. I just kind of assumed, but it turns out the guy that owns it, his name is Mike Day. From ECS and Turner Motorsport. So like he's been around. He's not just like some random guy.
Yeah.
So
he's got like a rear wheel drive converted Mark II. Volkswagen, I want to say.
Oh,
that's like a drift car.
Yeah, I just pulled up his Instagram. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he does cool stuff.
Yeah, he does. Well, good for drift nuggets. Okay. Mike the Day is his Instagram. I would highly suggest a look if I was anybody listening to this. Even right now.
Even right now, you're listening, go ahead and look it up.
Do it while you're driving. We don't care. Don't come back on us. But
we cannot be held liable.
I was behind a trailer yesterday, and it said, it's like a dump trailer, and it said, not responsible for broken windshields. And I just chuckled out loud. No one can sue you. That's not how this works.
Yeah, huh, Sean? You just say on the front end, nope, not responsible for that.
Not
and you're good. That covers it.
Jesse, have you seen this X5?
Yes.
Okay.
Somebody with another podcast was like talking about it and did a breakdown on it. And I was like, holy cow, that thing is actually really built.
Yeah, it's badass. Wait a minute. What other podcasts are you listening to? You don't just listen to us?
Oh, no. It was an Instagram reel of a podcast.
It was a clip.
Oh, okay. That passes. You're fine.
Oh, no. This is the only podcast I listen to.
Okay, good.
Only while you're on it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No. I'm the number one listener on Spotify.
Oh.
How could you be?
Bold claims.
I've listened to every episode on Spotify.
I've listened to some twice.
Whoa.
Me too. Wow. That's my wife wants to listen to.
That's a lie. I have never done that. I listen to about half of each one.
Oh, wow. Way to keep our time spent listening up,
Sean. Does that stat matter?
Yeah.
Then I'm just going to set it up and listen from
walk
end
away.
To end.
I don't care how you just turn it on, let it play, and walk away. Yeah, I don't care.
While we're here, maybe I just turn it back on and
mute and just, leave it running. just listen to it.
Okay, fine.
Have it play. Just let it play. Doesn't matter.
Sorry, back to Mike the Day.
Yes.
I really like his drift car.
I think it's cool. I don't want to say that I like it because I don't think that it's... I think it's cool. I think that good for him for making that, but front-wheel drive converted to rear-wheel drive cars... it's okay.
I'm on board with it.
I'm not quite as... serious about it as Colin is with lifted cars, but it's in there. I think the Corollas that they run in, the Papadakis ones in Formula Drift, those maybe get a pass a little bit, but barely. Only because they're winning world championships, I think. But like, I don't know. Otherwise, it's weird. I guess it's better if the engine is up front. If it's in the back, it's even weirder.
Wow, you didn't want to correct me. It's a Mark III, not a Mark II.
Oh, sorry, it's a Mark III. I didn't want to correct you because I wasn't paying attention.
I corrected
attention.
Myself.
Yeah.
So there. Yeah.
Go ahead and defend it, Jesse.
It does cool
Let
stuff.
Me know.
No, I'm not defending it. I was going to say, speaking of Formula, I did want to mention that one thing about Formula One on Sean's F1 hot take minute of Formula
One. Okay. Your Formula One minute.
Oh, yeah.
Did hold you on. Guys There's see a sound bite. Oh, no. Keep going. Sorry. I read the cue wrong.
Okay.
Okay.
I ruined his delivery.
Yep.
What's the guy who runs the FIA, Mohammed Ben Salam?
Something like that.
Whatever.
He the middle
went
name,
out
yeah.
and said that they want a Ben Salam.
Yeah.
Thank you. So what, he came out and said that he wants to ban cursing from F1.
Yeah.
Did we all see what Gunther Steiner said?
I did. I did.
I did not go for it.
Gunther, which I cannot do an impression of him, but I would love to hear him say this out loud. Quote, "Well, fuck this request from the FIA. Do we want pure emotion in F1 or fucking political correctness? Swearing brings relief. If everyone would swear a bit more to get rid of this fucking fucking frustrations, there would be..." Oh shit, I lost it. Damn it. "There would be less fucking wars in the fucking world. So fuck it."
Yeah. Yeah, good. Good comment from him, or good commentary from him.
Yeah, and actually, for the first time, that Dutch turd said something, I was like, oh, I actually kind of respect what you said.
Oh, you don't respect Gunther?
Dutch.
Oh, no, you're talking about Max.
Dutch.
Sorry.
Dutch. Dutch.
The Dutch.
Nobody likes the Dutch. I was just... No. Yeah, I went straight through that.
I appreciate how Max stood up
with...
And actually, everybody else stood up for Max. And then when Lewis came out and was like, hey, man, that was racist, everybody stood up with Lewis. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird thing because, and I'm not the expert, but there's plenty of cursing that happens on team radio, especially. Like, that's a really common thing. And they beep it out and whatever. There's a delay. Like, it's live, but there's a delay. It happens. But for him to say one thing in a conference was not, it's just like, who cares? Who gets hung up on that? And then to not only just to care enough to fine him, or they didn't give him a penalty. I think they just fined him, Max.
Max?
They
gave him public service.
Oh, that's right. What do you, yeah. That's right.
So he's going to pick up trash at the track or something?
Yeah, he's not going to do that, basically.
I'm just imagining Max Verstappen in an orange coat walking
on work release.
Well, so yeah, what they're going to do is he'll have his orange vest on when they walk the course, and he'll have a trash bag in his hand, and he'll have to pick up trash as he's walking the track.
It's a good idea, actually. Yeah. Maybe they should all get a trash bag for that.
Two things. One, I mean, that would be the overlanding way to do it, right?
That's right. Everybody get involved with some trail cleanup.
Yeah, we're going to trail clean up while we're walking the course, and then we can do the course.
All right, just thought it was really interesting that a motorsports governing organization would come out and say something like that, because I do feel like Gunter's right. Like, you vent your frustrations with curse words when you're pumped full of adrenaline because you're doing one of the most extreme things on the face of the planet, especially F1, or we can do even Ultra 4, NASCAR, whatever it is you're doing. You just naturally probably curse a little bit.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. Like, I understand that they don't want you cursing on live TV. Whether I agree with it or not, I understand.
Because of regulations and whatnot. But but at the same time, it's like, that's not on the person that cursed. That's on the video crew granted, they're going to have live cutaways of in-car and radio and whatnot.
Yeah.
But so they have control on that. So it's not the fault of the person that's doing it, because they know that the camera is on, but they don't know that the camera is necessarily on them in this very moment.
I think, well, it happened in a press conference is why. It's not because he cursed on radio.
Okay, well, then that's
the
on him.
Yeah, it's a little bit on him. I still think it's silly, and
FCC thing that there are rules. You gotta try and abide by it.
Yeah, but there's no way he's the first guy that's done that. There's no way.
No. And it's just they're starting to come down on him.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. Like, why would we go backwards with this?
It's also a paid subscription. This isn't TNT or CBS.
That is for us. So, it is not for other places. Outside of the U.S., it's possible to get F1 on, Sky Sports and things like that, which would be, I mean, at the very least, it'd be ESPN for us. Like, it's not like you're paying $75 a year or whatever it is to watch for the privilege to watch their sport.
Yeah. It's not, well, the go around is like the pay-per-view type deal, because it is a nationally broadcast that is on partners that are not a pay-per-view system. They have to abide by FCC rules.
Okay.
But if it's pay-per-view, you can get around that.
So if it was only a subscription-based kind of thing like this, then it would be easier.
So I think there are rules, or I'm going to end up Googling a bunch of stuff again. I think that there are rules when it comes to sporting events, and like how that all works.
Sure.
And the networks that are partners, they'll all have that. Like, I'm not sure what the rules are. So, like, say a boxing match or UFC or something like that, that is a pay-per-view, at least the later, you know, the main card, as they call it. Those have different rules, but they abide by the same rule as what was on Fox or whatever before, like the undercards or what have you. So,
yeah,
technically, I believe they can, but they try and abide by the other way. Same like the dude that said my balls was hot when he took his pants off after winning.
Yeah.
And that guy, he got in trouble for that, but it's like, come on.
Yeah.
His balls was hot.
Yeah. Well, what are you gonna do? I gotta imagine it will likely just gloss over and by two races from now,
nobody's gonna care. It's just gonna be that was the hyperbolic moment of the day, and that's all it is.
Yeah, there was like a bunch of articles that are like, maybe this is going to quicken his retirement from F1. It's like, okay, maybe. He's not in the business of not making money and racing when he's on top. Like, I understand he's had less wins recently, but he's still one of the best. You know, as much as I don't really care for him, he's a great driver and he's got a great setup.
Like, and here's the thing, retirement, he's two teams away from retiring. As we know, you start losing it for an upper echelon team, you just sign for a lower team.
Yeah.
And then you sign for another lower team before you actually retire.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, he strikes me as the kind of guy that might like dabble in something else along the way instead, but you never know. I mean, that seems to be the other route. Some people just like bail out and go, all right, I race touring cars or I race Le Mans or like whatever other thing they do, or just sim race. That seems to be
that's what his he likes big to do, thing. Yeah. It's a lot safer.
Yeah, that's true. It really is. And he's really good at that. Yeah, so, well, you know, better than I would be. That's for sure.
All right.
That's been your F1 minute.
That's the F1 minute.
Oh, I thought you were going to.
Oh, I love it.
Wow. Extended version.
Yeah. It's going to be the whole thing, probably. It doesn't give me like how long it is or anything.
A good crafty. Well, we're in, you know, wherever. What's going to be the tire of the weekend? Hamilton's had it on the mediums, and I don't know. I can't even get close to it.
It's a pretty long intro. I didn't know it was this long.
You're talking
it's
over
still
part
going.
Of it.
Oh my god! Let's see if I can end it. There.
Whew. Oh, it's coming back.
There you go. So I could have just used that, but it was fun to get the whole theme.
I was almost waiting for Hank Williams Jr. to join in there and start singing some country music over that.
Why would he do that?
Well, I don't know. Is this kind of... Never mind.
The guy can wish.
Obscure reference. Can't he?
Very obscure. What are you even talking about?
Well, no, it's like the Are You Ready for Some Football? This is now ready for F1. Never mind.
But they never did that. What do you mean?
I know.
Can you explain yourself so I can be on the same joke?
I'm making an obscure reference to something that happened in our childhood.
Oh. I don't remember a lot of that.
Your childhood?
Cool. Yeah.
don't remember a lot of your childhood?
There's parts of it. Well, we're a talkative bunch today.
Yeah, a lot of gaps.
A lot of gaps. You're going to have to tighten that up in post.
Yeah. Well, still got to take care of some stuff here, so keep going.
Okay. I got a vehicle to share. Oh,
okay.
Yes, let me find this. I'm going to... You know what? No, let's not do that. I'm not going
to... And I do have one surprise to...
Oh, you have your surprise. Your face tattoo.
Okay, do that.
We have a new email.
What?
We do?
How did you get the email?
I don't know, because I just did it.
Wait, you made an email for us. I thought you said we got an email. Okay, I love it.
No.
Go ahead.
No, we made a new email.
Oh,
okay.
It's secret called secret RSCP at gmail.com.
What does RSCP stand for?
Really sweet campfire passport.
Oh, yeah, it was quick. I like it.
Hmm.
So we are no longer an old email that we will not mention. If you would like to reach us, please reach out to secret RSCP.
Yeah. Rhymes with
RSCP.
At gmail.com. Hmm. If you guys would like the password, well, I don't want to say it on
air. Let's put it on.
Well, you can bleep it out.
Anybody
right?
can use it.
Yeah, do you have a beep on that that thing? It's going to last for 30 seconds.
I can't do it live, probably, but.
Well, no, in post, you could put a bleep over it, right?
I can do it in post, yeah.
Okay. It's 69.
Hmm.
Oh, my God. You know what? Someone please hack that email.
Yeah. I'm going to leave it on there and see if it happens.
You can have it.
Oh, God, please don't. Tied to my phone number.
Well, why would you do that?
That's on you, man.
I asked you if you could bleep it out.
You asked. I mean, doesn't mean he's going to say yes. Crap. I'm going to have to send you guys an Instagram link. This sucks. I don't want to do it that way.
Oh, for crying out loud.
I know. I wanted to send you the real link, but I can't do it because I can't figure out why. So.
Can't do it because I can't figure out why.
So here we go with the screen share.
I like a screen share.
I do too. Boom. Can you see that?
Yes.
Yep.
This is an article on the Autopian about a V10 powered Jeep, I guess a Jeep Cherokee.
Correct.
Resto mod. 1979 Resto mod Jeep Cherokee S.
Full size Cherokee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also.
But it's a V10 from a Viper.
Mm-hmm. Sure is. I want to go on record saying I don't like the way these look that much. I don't know what it is. I think it's a two-door thing. Yeah.
So the main difference is the two-door, and that's a wide track, so it's got the flares also.
The wide track. Yeah, not a fan of that. Yours was better looking.
I mean, you can just cut those off.
Okay, cool. So. I wouldn't cut my $300,000 Jeep fenders off in this episode of Would You Pay Money for That? So this is a big old V10, a Viper V10. Looks like it's presumably, I'm using that word because it's on the screen, modified a little bit because 825 horsepower and 750 pound-feet of torque. They're claiming it as the fastest vintage Jeep in the world, which...
Wow, a lot of claims today.
A lot of bold claims. Also, unrelated, it's in Arizona.
No, wow.
I'm just kidding. I mean, it might be, but...
It's got a picture of the plates.
Yeah, it's got a bunch of cool stuff, you know? It's got a... I don't know. Why is it... It says Dana 40 axles.
Whoops.
Thanks, Autopian.
Yeah, 44, you
44
mean.
And a 60. Atlas II transfer case. It's beefy. It's pretty cool, though.
It's interesting that they...
Look at that oil
did
pan.
A 44 in the front instead of just putting
say.
60s front and rear. But
look at that oil pan. Jesus.
Nice and flat.
It is huge.
Can you imagine how low those bump stops would have to be to stop that diff from pumping into that oil pan?
I think that might be an optical illusion. I think it might be off-centered just enough to be better than that, but maybe not. I don't know. Anyways, that's my share. I think it's kind of cool. I don't want it. I would not pay money for it, but I like it.
Hmm.
No. It's a cool idea. And I was about to say, I wonder how many axles they're going to break on the front, but I can answer that question because it's going to be none.
Yeah, because it's never going to have the hubs locked.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's no reason to lock those hubs when it's sitting in your collection.
Yeah. Yeah. For that kind of...
Oh.
It's going to be... it's going to be a... Yeah. A total freaking garage queen. You'll see it at shows and... it'll probably be at SEMA.
Yeah, maybe.
Things like that. But yeah, it's never going to.
These guys build some kind of cool stuff, actually. Vigilante 4x4. Vigilante?
I think normal people probably say vigilante.
Potato, potato.
I say vigilante, but.
Yeah.
I think I was churching it up a little bit while I was reading it.
Come on, dirt.
Yeah. I'm not gonna defend myself, to be really honest with you on that. It's what it is. I don't know. Vigilante doesn't sound right to me either. But
that is right.
But that's probably right. Anyways, these guys build a bunch of full-size Jeep stuff. Prices start at $295, so that V10 one might cost more than that.
Oh, the price. So this is like an offering, not a vehicle that is currently for sale.
That is in process or progress, it says. Oh, wait. Available vehicles. Let's see. Immediately available. No.
Not
that one.
Okay.
But they have an 88 Wrangler or a Grand Wagoneer that looks pretty sweet. And it's got a 810 horsepower Hellcat red eye engine.
Mm.
So that's cool. I want to see if it doesn't give a price on this one. Oh, yeah, it does. Take a guess. Hold on. Let me show it.
Well, let me see it. I'm not going to take a shot in the dark here.
Hold on. Da-da-da. I had to make sure that I wasn't in the spot that would tell you the price.
Okay.
We're going to play the video. Roll the video.
Okay. Oh.
We're not going to listen to the
video. Yeah, let's not listen to whatever I was saying. Okay, so it's a restored total resto mod for sure. Maybe some 32s, 33s.
No, I think those are like maybe 35s. It's
pretty those are size. Not 35s, my friend.
It's tall.
Those are not 35s. I think they are. Those are not 35s, Sean. I'll bet you the price of this vehicle on it.
Well, that they're not 35s. Yeah. They can't be anything else.
Because you both have that money.
Shut up, Jesse. You don't know.
My hand is extended. I'm waiting here.
I'm not betting something I can't have or I can't back up.
Mm-hmm. Because
I don't think they're
32s. Because you know you're wrong. You're wrong.
Might be a 315/70. Might be a 295/70. It's definitely on a bigger wheel, which is interesting. Anyways, let's get like
the... Does that one at least have a Dana 60 in front?
It's got one of those high pinion rear 60s, it looked like. Like the funky, like tilted housing ones.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you want me to give my guess?
Yes, while I try to figure out the tire size.
269,000.
Nice.
No. 17x9 wheels. Mm. Oh, you see it?
385. Wow.
Oh, my God.
Man. Yeah, it's got...
It's got an exquisite interior.
Yeah, Rolls-Royce inspired sheepskin carpet.
Oh, well.
Yeah. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Also, Dana 44 front.
Yeah, Crate 44 front. Interesting. Big brakes. Hmm. 4L80.
That's an interesting...
Where's the tire size, Sean?
Doesn't say. I was trying to see if I could find like a different thing that would show me. I'm pretty confident that I'm right here, though.
Well, they gave you the wheel size, which is interesting where they wouldn't give you tire size as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Call us now.
I still don't... Oh, here you go. Here's some pictures.
I know. I'm going to see if there's anything close up on the wheel tire. Yeah.
Come on. And those are factory style wheels, just in a bigger size.
Yeah, 17, just like the...
I think that Colin's right, Sean.
It's not a 32. I guarantee you it's not a 32-inch.
They sure shit aren't 35s.
No, I think they're at 33.
Those are 33 max.
You, hold on. Hold the phone. You didn't go to 33. You said 31, 32.
I said 33. Do I need to rewind the tape somehow?
No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm going to let you sit in that for a second.
You said there were 35, and I said no chance that those are 35s.
I put my money on a 33.
I'm going to say it's probably in between, but no, let's see.
No way.
Well, there's, they're BFGs, there's a so they right run there small.
That you passed. It was a close up
of the tire.
It was a close up of the wheel, and it might be able to expand to be able to see what size it is. Mm-hmm. So go back. This is riveting.
Keep going. Keep going. Tell me.
Right there. See? Oh, it's because it's of the brake. Never mind. Okay.
Yeah. Let's just see.
The big brake.
You guys carry the conversation for a second. Let me.
Anyway, yeah. There's. I struggle to believe that those are, yeah, that's 33 max. There's no way that those are any bigger than that, especially with how it's not really lifted either.
I'm just looking at the aspect ratio between the 17-inch wheel and the sidewall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and was it spring under still?
It's coilovers and four links.
Oh. Well, of course.
We could contact them. Just call the phone number.
That'd be pretty, yeah, contact
us earlier in the day, I'd just call.
That'd be pretty funny if it was a $370,000 vehicle and it was still on lease brakes.
I'd be very happy about that.
What was that phone number again, Sean?
Good call live.
It's too late.
It doesn't say it's a 24-hour phone service.
Doesn't say it's not either.
It doesn't not. Yeah. They have a $385,000 vehicle for sale. I'm pretty sure they're going to take a phone calls call anytime
they can.
Excuse me, sir. What size tire is on that 88 Wagoneer?
I found a Photoshop of it. That doesn't help me at all.
Well, yeah, that's not going to work. Hmm. I mean, it's cool. It's not my cup of tea because resto mod stuff is just kind of it feels kind of pointless in some instances, especially in at least to that level, like especially in off-road stuff, because the deeper you go on it, the more scared you are about actually wheeling it, when that's the point of it, is to be able to go off-road. That's why you buy a 4x4, in my opinion.
That's why some people buy them, at least.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, I know that they're not something that has a soul per se, but I just feel sorry for 4x4s that are resto mod like that just drive on the pavement all the time and sit in a garage all the time.
They're just for looks. It's your practicality coming out again, Colin. just happening.
I mean, because you could spend that kind of money and make some very subtle changes, and it would be
very usable if you wanted to. An insane,
usable, and nice rig. It would suck to hurt it, obviously, but
yeah,
that's what it's therefore, and if you're spending that kind of money on it, you've got the money to repair it if you break it on the trail.
You probably should. That's the otherwise, you probably shouldn't be buying that.
Yeah.
I shared that Art Morrison square body Chevy, like that Art Morrison chassis. That's like the alternate to this, as far as I'm concerned, with like what you could do. Like that thing is set up to be, that is full on as gnarly as you can get underneath for an off road vehicle. Under whatever you want to put it under. And so that to me is kind of cool. It's like you could build a vehicle like this around that and it would still be able to smash through whoops. You could run it off road. You could do whatever you want. It has the performance to back it up. It's not just for looks. So that's kind of cool. Whereas that one, like, yeah, it's fine. It's, you know, built up a little bit, but really it's very obviously built for like street cruising, and it's still four wheel drive because it has to be. Because if it was two wheel drive, no one would buy it. Even though it doesn't matter and no one would use it, I don't think anybody would buy it. I don't think anybody's going to buy it as is, but I think less people would.
I think people would still buy it.
If it was all-wheel drive, like no lockout hub kind of scenario, maybe, like a factory style.
I think even two-wheel drive, they'd buy it. people like that would buy. I mean,
have you ever seen a lifted two-wheel drive anything that's really nice like that?
I mean, no, probably not.
Not off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Broncos, Scouts, all those things that people rebuild, Blazers, always four-wheel drive. Usually on one-ton running gear, which is funny because ironically, like as much as we're giving it shit for having it, it does or not having it, it doesn't need it. But like also to me, I go,
I mean, I guess the only reason that that might, so there you go. So there's the explanation why it's a 44 in the front and a 60 in the back. They put a one ton in the back because of power.
Yeah.
They didn't bother with the front because they know it. They're not going to ever be putting the power to the front. So who cares?
But couldn't you make the argument that you could raise the price by $5,000 or whatever it takes to switch between the two? I mean, that's such a weird choice.
I guess, but I don't, well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're putting crate axles under it. So, you know, yeah, it's, they're replacing it anyway. So
they did keep the six on 5.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, with a crate axle.
I did find one comment. I've been going through their Instagram on this vehicle. I found one comment with somebody that said 33-inch tire, question mark. There's no answer, but it was liked by the author.
So.
All right. It might be a 33. That's fine. I thought they looked bigger, but maybe they weren't. And on that terrible disappointment. Did you guys watch the final episode of the Grand Tour yet?
Yeah.
That's right. You did? It was pretty good.
Yeah.
What were you talking about? I missed it.
The last episode of Grand Tour.
Oh, yes, I did. Yeah. Yeah.
It was good. It was a nice little send-off. I thought it was good.
Yep.
I didn't cry, but I thought about it.
I didn't get as emotional about it as I thought going in that I was going to. But it was, I mean, it was a classic episode that had their classic bits.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I did really like, even if it, so at the end, spoiler alert, at the end where they're about to go onto the pan and they just happen across the, cars that they took the first time they went out there.
The Merc. Well, it was only the Merc and the Delta, right?
The Lancia was this time. I don't remember if it was a Lancia.
The first time he also had a Lancia too.
I don't remember. But Oliver was not there because Hammond brought Oliver home.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a nice moment.
but they happen across the vehicles there, and there was, I know that like some people complain about the scripted nature of the show, but that's, I mean, you have to have some sort of script to it, but it is loose. But even if that was a setup, it was clearly not a setup for James and Clarkson.
Yeah.
Like the producers may have like gotten them the vehicles shuffled over there so that they could drive past them and see if they would notice or what have you. But Clarkson and James did not know that those were going to be there, and their reaction was pretty genuine, and that was a cool moment because I think even for them as well, that's a cool moment to like experience the first time again in that way.
Yeah.
This many years later. Like that's pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. It was
But it was almost 20 years, right?
Well, they were on show together for 22 years, I think is what it was.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember when that special came out.
Particular special, I can't remember how long ago that one was.
I was just trying to look at that because I was trying to figure out what the other car is because it was, I don't remember. I don't want to like.
I really enjoyed this part where they're all, again, spoiler alert, when they're all driving away and May pulls up his phone and just starts deleting the phone numbers. I thought that was a cute little thing. I know it's all scripted, but it, like, that was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, there was, like I said, there was a lot of just little nods to them, to themselves, basically, throughout it. That, like, if you were a follower of their content, you caught them. And I mean, shit, we might not have caught half of them, you know? Like, it's, that could be one of those ones you'd have to watch multiple times to
really catch all of
it. To catch all of their little nods to themselves.
Yeah.
So
Luke would have caught them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. There's, I saw a video or a shot of like the cars.
Lancia Beta Coupe.
Yeah. I was just going to tell that.
Yeah. So it wasn't
Lancia. So it wasn't a Delta, but it was still a Lancia.
Yes. Yeah. Did you see like the comparison shot of them at that like one spot with the cars?
At the tree. Yeah.
Yeah. It was really cool. I liked that.
The baobab trees. Yes.
I didn't see the comparison, obviously, till like, you know, a few days later or something. And that one actually got me. I just kind of went, oh, that's so cool. Like,
what do you mean? They flashed it on the screen.
Oh, did they? I missed it.
In the show.
When I saw it on the internet, I was like, oh, that's so cool. So I must have just.
They did like a flash of it back and forth between the two.
I don't know how I missed that, but I did. So there we are.
It was pretty cool to see, like, because they had the helicopter doing the shots in the first time they were there. And then you could definitely tell it was a drone the second time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The difference in filming, how you can film things now.
Drones have definitely changed aerial shots forever. So,
Yeah, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, on that terrible disappointment, I have to pee.
And I should probably go take care of my kids.
Let's just play us out, Colin.